Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, as the conversation surrounding funding for the border wall at the U.S. southern border continues, one key question lawmakers will likely consider is how we view immigrants fleeing violence in places like Central America. The State of the World Conference begins at Florida International University tomorrow, where experts from around the country will discuss some of the most pressing policy issues, including issues on immigration. Now, one of the panel discussions is called Immigration, Who's In and Who's Out? Two of the panelists speaking on that panel join us now for that conversation. Luis Guillermo Solis Rivera is a distinguished visiting scholar at the Kimberly Green Latin American and Caribbean Center at FIU. And Mr. Rivera is the former president of Costa Rica. President Solis, welcome to the program. Such a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Also joining us is Ann Richards, Centennial Fellow at Georgetown University. Mrs. Richards served as Assistant Secretary of State for Population, Refugees, and Migration in the Obama administration. She joins us from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. Mrs. Richard, it's such a pleasure.
Good afternoon.
President Solis, I want to start with you. The President of the United States went on national television last night and declared our country is facing an immigration crisis. Would you consider the situation at the border right now to be a crisis? How do you define that?
Well, it has been a very complex situation, but this is not a new situation. This has been going on for decades. And immigration in general, in the United States and other places, has to be seen and analyzed very carefully because of the implications it has, economic and human, and security ones. And I think that there is a growing concern in the United States to update the policy and do it differently. It's a phenomenon that it's not going to go away. In fact, it can increase. And I'm talking about Central America in particular. We can talk about that later. But I wouldn't say that it's the United States on the verge of an invasion that's going to destroy the country. No, this is a vision that I do not share.
Mrs. Richard, you know, during the Obama administration, I'm curious as to what were some of the refugee crisis and issues in Central America that you were charged with addressing, and what was the approach then?
Well, as your audience probably already knows, there are record levels of refugees and displaced people around the world right now, including from hotspots like Syria and the Horn of Africa. And that includes our own hemisphere. And we have people fleeing violence and insecurity in the Northern Triangle of Central America, the countries of Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. One of the nice things for me about coming to the State of the World Conference is I get to see President Solis again. I first met him in his office in Costa Rica when he was the president and I was the assistant secretary. And we worked together to try to find a way for Costa Rica to help, working with the UN Refugee Agency, to help some of the people who feared for their lives in the Northern Triangle of Central America and find a way for them to avoid the very dangerous trip across Mexico to find sanctuary in the U.S. and instead get a temporary protection in Costa Rica. So it's great to be united with him today on this program and to see, I'll be seeing him tomorrow.
And is something interesting too, wasn't it that, you know, going to Costa Rica were prepared to, you know, get into a battle if you had to try to talk him into, you know, doing something to help in the refugee crisis. But he was very amenable to let's work this out.
Well, he probably remembers it better than I do, but I remember that I set out to convince him to do this and I didn't have to because he already knew and wanted to play a constructive role in the situation in Central America.
I want to hear from both of you on the word refugee and how it's being used and defined today, and if there's a problem with that. Mrs. Richard, let me start with you.
Well, the legal definition of refugee dates back to the 1951 International Convention that came out after World War II, and the idea was to help those fleeing persecution because of their political beliefs, membership in a social group, their race, their religion, their nationality, and to allow them to, if they had crossed an international border, to give them the protection that the world felt that they deserved. And today's crises are more complex. If you look at the people fleeing Central America, they're not being persecuted by their governments. Their governments instead are failing to protect them from criminal gangs. And so this is a situation that was not anticipated by the drafters of that convention. Some immigration judges in the U.S. would say, yes, these people are refugees. Some politicians would say, no, there's criminality all over the world. They don't have a right to cross our border to claim asylum. What's very clear is that they're fleeing for their lives. So I would argue that we have a responsibility to help them.
President Solis, I wanted to get your take on that as well, is how we're using the word refugee today.
Oh, I completely agree with Ms. Richards. I think that we have a lacking of a better concept to include all of these migrants who are moving away from, running away from fear, from hunger, or looking for better opportunities. And the truth of the matter, when we talk about migrants, I like to look at them as people who are running away. I wrote an op-ed piece for El Herald here in Miami a couple of weeks ago, saying that they're not migrating, they're escaping. And the definition, the legal definition, comes short to that new condition of millions of people who are leaving their countries of birth to seek refuge from these conditions. So the way we're using the concept is not being helpful to provide for the multilateral support that these populations require.
And by the way, too, is that Costa Rica is a refugee status determination country. What does that mean?
Well, it means that anybody who comes to the country and requests becoming a refugee gets the opportunity to become one. And we are very strict in allowing this condition to be given if the persons who are in requesting it can prove their condition. And it, generally, we have welcomed, especially people coming from other countries in Latin America that require this protection. And lately, we've had thousands of Nicaraguan new immigrants coming into the country. We have already some over 500,000 Nicaraguans living in Costa Rica, according to the latest census, probably more people. Just in the last few months, over 50,000 new people have come in after the crisis, the political crisis in Nicaragua. So,
Mrs. Richards, I want to come back to you. Let's return to when you reached out to President Solis and you wanted to, you know, get Costa Rica on board in the issues of dealing with refugees back then. I mean, what was going on? Just remind us again, what was happening at the time?
Well, the Obama administration was very firm in wanting to help refugees all around the world. And we were trying to resettle more refugees from various crisis zones in the United States. We were the leader in providing humanitarian assistance around the world. And in we were also concerned, though, about the Southwest border, that the number of people coming, well, actually the profile of the people coming had shifted. As you know, a decade ago, Mexican, primarily men, would be coming north to find jobs. Now, however, we have a very different group of people coming north. We are not seeing a majority of Mexicans coming north. In fact, many have gone home again. Instead, we are seeing this very vulnerable group coming north from the Northern Triangle of Central America. So the Obama administration pushed a package of measures that included providing assistance to the governments in those countries so that they did a better job protecting their own people. It also involved talking to Mexico, working very working multilaterally with UN Refugee Agency, the International Organization for Migration. And of course, it also involved doing things at the Southwest border. But it wasn't one simple response. It was a multifaceted response.
We're talking again with Ann Richard, a Centennial Fellow at Georgetown University. She served as the Assistant Secretary of State for Population, Refugees, and Migration under the Obama administration. Also talking with Luis Guillermo Solis Rivera, a distinguished visiting scholar at FIU. He was the president of Costa Rica from 2014 to 2018. They're going to be part of a conversation this week. It's part of the State of the World Conference at FIU, and it begins tomorrow. And that is free and open to the public. We'll have more information information on our website, WLRN.org. President Solis, how is Costa Rica dealing with the refugee issue? As Mrs. Richards was talking about, you had people from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador coming through, trying to get to the United States, or at least trying to get out where they were. But how did Costa Rica deal with that?
Well, we had three waves of immigrants that were problematic during my tenure. We had a Cuban migration that was significant. We had over 8,000 Cubans that came from Ecuador. We had the Nicaraguan situation at the very end of my tenure. And then we had over 23,000 Haitian coming from Brazil. So we had a situation that was pretty complex. We dealt with it with different approaches. First of all, we had to guarantee that these people were not being subject to the coyote phenomenon. Some of our listeners may know, human trafficking is horrible.
The smugglers, the coyotes.
The smugglers, yeah. The coyotes. And that's it's probably more profitable a business than drugs, human trafficking. So we gave them authorization to be in the country for over 30 days so that they could, you know, move around without fear of the authorities. That was one thing. And then ensure that they had the conditions necessary for a decent life while they were in country, and they move on. In the case of the Cubans, we had a very difficult time because Nicaragua shut down their borders. And while they were not willing to stay in any country of Central America, they wanted to come to the United States and take advantage of the privileges that they had, they had to go through, and they wouldn't allow them to go through. And this was an enticing factor for the coyotes to work from Nicaragua onward. So we had to have, this is the third element, not only safe passage and good conditions, but multilateral cooperation. We needed the support of other countries to deal with this. This is not a single country's issue. It entails many other nations as well.
And over time, what was the attitude of the Costa Rican people as they're dealing with refugees? Because you see this in other countries. When refugees are coming through or coming in, you know, at some point tension starts to grow.
Absolutely. And it happened in Costa Rica as well. I think that by and large, the Costa Rican population was very generous with the immigration flow. With the Cuban population, integration and support was immediate. It was a love affair almost with the Cubans because they looked alike, they spoke the language, they ate the same things we eat, and they got to the country at the end of the year. They were incorporated into the festivities of Christmas and the New Year. With the Haitian population, there was a little more resistance, mainly because they spoke a different language. They had a different, they were black, and this was an issue for many communities that had not seen black populations in those numbers. They had different uses, cultural uses as well, but by and large wouldn't have violence. We had some incidents, but produced by the Haitians that wanted to move on and do whatever they wanted to do. And I must be clear, and I think that Mrs. Richards would coincide with me, I mean, we have laws that need to be applied. And with the Nicaraguan population, you know, we have a sweet-sour relationship. It has been like that for decades.
Mrs. Richards, as part of your work with the Obama administration, you were charged with advising leadership on temporary protected status for specific communities. But TPS is challenging because it's meant to be temporary. Do you think the system works in its current iteration?
You've hit the nail on the head that temporary protective status for various groups who are in the United States when a crisis breaks out in their home country and they're allowed to stay and they're not forced back, it's intended to be temporary, and for some groups, years and years and years have gone on. So I would suggest that perhaps we need to institute a change in our understanding of it, and that after 7 or 10 years pass and the situation in their home country has not improved, then perhaps we should look at allowing these folks, those who want to plan to stay and become residents of the U.S. and put down roots. Because as we all know, life takes place. People fall in love, they get married, they have kids here, they get jobs, they have mortgages. And so it becomes almost cruel to push people back if they've been in the United States for a long time making their lives. And of course, I'm talking about people who are law abiding and who make a contribution to our country, as most immigrants and refugees do.
And the Trump administration is ending TPS certifications for thousands of Salvadorans, Haitians, Nicaraguans this year, later this year, many again who reside here in South Florida. Do we have a sense of the options available to these individuals at this point?
Well, I think they're going to have to plan to go back. But for youth who have grown up in the United States, who haven't spent time in their home countries, this could be a real difficult situation for them. You know, we are a country of refugees and immigrants, and most Americans have in the past supported that. In fact, this had been in the past a bipartisan issue. I know earlier in your program you were talking about Ileana Ross-Lehtinen, who has stepped down from her position. She chose not to run again for, as a congresswoman in Miami, but she was one of the people on the when I was a Democratic a political appointee, I could turn to her as a Republican congresswoman, and we could have a very good conversation about helping refugees. And people in Florida get it because so many Cuban Americans came, fled Cuba when it was, and fled communism. And that the understanding that Cubans fleeing communism, or people in the Cold War fleeing the Soviet sphere, that these people should be taken into our country, that was something really well understood. And so something has changed in our society. We have political leaders who are hostile to refugees and immigrants, and I think this is really a shame. And that to the extent we can, we have to really re-knit this bipartisan support for bringing in people to our country, giving them an opportunity, especially if they are vulnerable.
And President Solis, because you mentioned this a moment ago about how Costa Rica was dealing with a lot of these refugees. And part of it was, look, I got the sense of what you said. It's like, well, this is temporary. We're going to help you, but this is temporary. And so this issue of TPS, I mean, you have people who've been living in the United States now for many years, so they built roots.
They
here.
Are here. Yeah, they
and
are.
So, I mean, your take on this idea of any country's responsibility to any group of refugees they're seeking help, is it supposed to be temporary, or do we say, you know what, we open ourselves up to you as well?
Well, it could be temporary, and in fact, you know, I continue to insist that we should be responsible in the countries that originate the immigration of the conditions of the country so that people don't leave. I mean, if you see Costa Ricans abroad, are relatively few, because if you are put in the position of choosing to leave or stay in a compound, you're going to stay if you have, you know, basic conditions. So the responsibility of providing for those conditions are from the original countries, or the countries from they come from. It is our responsibility to keep them there. So I would say that if we are able to move forward from the state in which we are at this point, people would probably like to come, but not those who have already lived here for generations or for decades. It's going to be very difficult for them to go away. They are providing services that this country needs. They are doing a lot of jobs that Americans do not want to do. So they're
and,
not going
and to also, look, part of it is the fact that in a lot of these countries, they don't want to go back.
Absolutely, and they're right.
But then what role do we play in that? Well, we being the United States, what role does the United States play?
Well, a very important role, because not only in terms of providing short-term cooperation resources, which I find continue to be important, like the ones the United States have put forward, including in the Trump administration. I mean, it is a mistake to cut short that assistance. But there's more. Investments, for example, that can be promoted, which I find, it's one of the things I find curious, you know, that the countries, if Central America could be even punished further if, for example, the CAFTA-DR, the Central American U.S. Free Trade Agreement, is revised, as I hear today that could be revised by the Trump administration, that's going to put more strain upon the economies of the region, and investments and creation of jobs are going to be more difficult.
Mrs. Richard, what do you think about the long-term implications of some of President Trump's immigration policies? Again, it's between in its relations between the United States and Latin America.
Well, one of the things that I think is very important that was at the core of what President Solis was just saying is that you don't just look at the numbers of people showing up at your border. You look at why are they there, and then you track back to the crisis in their home countries that are forcing them to flee for their lives. You know, it was interesting, the president last night, for the first time, I think, mentioned it was a humanitarian crisis. He talked about the dangers on the route through Mexico. And this is not news. Those dangers are well understood by the people traveling north. That's why many of them chose to travel as a caravan, even though the president described it as an invading army. It was actually people coming together to protect themselves. And the reason they're fleeing, even though it's dangerous, is because it's even more dangerous to stay where they are. They're being threatened and targeted by criminal gangs, narco traffickers. So I think we need our development experts, diplomats, engagement with foreign countries, support of multilateral organizations that know how to improve situations. We need to have good relations with the countries that are seeing their people flee. We need to encourage those countries to be good governments. So we need to look abroad and focus on the origins of these migrant flows, and especially of people who are refugees fleeing for their lives.
This is a fascinating conversation that the two of you are going to continue again tomorrow. This is, again, talking with Luis Guillermo Solis Rivera, distinguished visiting scholar at FIU and also former president of Costa Rica, and Ann Richard, Centennial Fellow at Georgetown University. Again, they're talking at the panel on immigration, and actually it's Friday as part of the university's State of the World event. The event starts tomorrow. They're going to be talking on Friday. We'll have more details on our website, WLRN.org. I have to end it there. President Solis, it's been such a pleasure. Mrs. Richard, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to, I would love to see you again, Ann. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both.